Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again for the live webcast. I'm absolutely delighted today to have my friend Liam Thatcher with me. So welcome, Liam. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, it's great to be with you.
Good. Well, I'll introduce Liam a bit more in a moment, and we'll have a kind of little chat about who he is before I hand over him for him to share what's on his heart. But just a few little noticey things before we get going. Barry is teaching at a school of ministry in Mexico today. He's doing two online sessions from Canada to Mexico with a translator. So that's what he's doing. But he will be with us back with us next week. And just a reminder for all of you guys in North America, we are changing our clocks this weekend in Europe. And so the time difference will be back to normal. So Eastern Standard Time next week, the webcast will be at 3 o'clock rather than 4 o'clock. We'll be back to normal next week. So just make a note of that. We'll put that on the flyer at the beginning of the week so you can see that. And just finally, I'm off to Poland tomorrow to Kalisz, a city southwest of Warsaw, doing a church conference there Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. So really just appreciate any prayers from me. Trevor's coming with me and he'll be doing a session, and some of the team from Poland will also be doing some sessions. So really looking forward to that. But anyway, Liam, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Liam is one of the leaders and pastors of the church we go to in Oxford, and has a varied job description. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about some of the things that land on your plate every week, Liam?
Certainly. Well, yes, I'm one of the assistant pastors at Oxford Community Church, and I'm responsible for a number of things. So Sundays, which is quite a lot really in church life. So I oversee all of what goes on Sunday, so preaching, worship, all those sorts of elements. We lead our School of the Spirit, which is a 6-month course that my wife and I run with a great team of volunteers as well. And that's a course that runs from October to March. We actually just finished our latest cohort last night, so we had our graduation. And the point of the course really is to help people to, well, live lives more like Jesus, really, secure in their God-given identity, filled with his power and carrying the kingdom wherever they go. So that's a joy to lead that. I've been doing that for 2 years. I also lead our student work and am part of the team that oversees our family of churches, Salt and Light Advance. I think that's probably most things. You know, in pastor's life, you pick up other things as you go as well.
So that's quite a bit. And how long have you been in Oxford, Liam?
Yeah, almost 4 years now. And we've been at this church for about 3.5.
Yeah. And before Oxford, you were?
Yeah, we were in London. So I was a teaching pastor at a large church in London. We met in 6 different places across the city. And we were there for about 12 years until God called us to Oxford, quite surprisingly, actually.
And it was a pretty amazing journey.
yeah, it was not one that we saw coming at all. But it's been just a joy to follow God. So we were pretty happy and settled in London. And about 2019, we felt God was prompting us about a move. And as I said, our church met in 6 places across the city. So we assumed it was probably from where we were in southwest London, right across to East London. We started making plans for that. And then the week we were about to put our flat on the market and make the move, or prepare, but, you know, begin the process of making the move, we got an opportunity to go up to Glasgow to meet with the Glasgow Prophetic Centre team from there. And the Monday we flew up there, we stayed over in a hotel for our appointment first thing on the Tuesday. And I had a dream, and the sort of short version of it is that in the dream I was in a church that met in a warehouse in Oxford. I woke up and I thought, strange, I don't know what that's about. Mention it to my wife. We went to our appointment, and it was about an hour of them prophesying all sorts of things. But about 20 minutes in, they said, it's time to question everything, including your geography. And we thought, yep, we're about to make the move to East London. And then they said, the city of Oxford is open to you. And we were floored. So, and then they just kept going, prophesying all sorts of stuff, largely what I'm doing now, actually. But I didn't have a frame of reference for it at the time. And we didn't really know what to do with that. So we prayed into it, and the pandemic hit basically the week after, so we couldn't do much anyway. But as we prayed, we just didn't get any sense from God as to whether this was now or 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, until a friend texted us. And we hadn't talked to anyone about this, but a friend texted us and said, "Hey, I just had a dream two nights in a row that you moved to Oxford." And so we concluded at that point, and then with some wise counsel from friends, that actually the Lord was asking us to move without knowing why. And we did, which was scary but exciting. And it's just been amazing seeing how things have slotted into place. And of course, it's a far longer story than that. But we are now at a church that meets in a warehouse in Oxford and leading many of the things that were prophesied over us. And it's just been a joy to follow God in that way.
Brilliant. It's amazing when that happens. I had a similar experience back in 2000 and no, in, back in 1996. In one of the River of God meetings that we had in Oxford at the time, Gerald Coates came, and he basically pulled everybody out who was called Mark, and he prophesied over all the Marks, and he literally prophesied what I'm doing now. And that was like many, many years before I really kind of knew anything about this revelation of God being a father and stuff. So amazing. I mean, when he speaks and leads us, it's just wonderful. Yeah, so really that's great. So Liam, where did you grow up? Which part of the country is, yeah, is childhood home? And
this is Kent. I'm from Kent. So I grew up in Ashford in Kent. Went to university in Canterbury in Kent, just up the road. And was there until I moved to London.
And you did a wonderful combination of degree subjects.
Yeah, I did drama and philosophy, which it's quite a fun combination. I thought it was a fun combination. I think my wife's not so sure. It made me melodramatic and argumentative. So, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the mixture of the creativity and the being able to communicate creatively, but also to grapple with big ideas. And I think those two elements have actually found their home in a lot of what I do in terms of teaching. Yeah.
I can't imagine there were many people who had that particular combination of degree. Yeah,
I was the only one that I knew of at the time. I mean, I'm sure others have done it. And actually, it's not so unusual in that a number of playwrights were also philosophers, particularly in the sort of French or existentialist tradition. Yeah. So there's precedent. Yeah. But yes, right, there weren't many doing it at the time.
Right, yeah, good. And so finished your degree, went to London, straight into pastoral church leadership teaching, or did you do anything exciting between the two?
What are you saying? You're saying a pastoral ministry?
Oh, no, well, no, sorry. Of course not.
when I finished my degree, I stayed in Canterbury for a bit. So I met my wife there at university. So we got married shortly after university. And actually, I started working for New Frontiers, the church network that we were part of at the time. My wife and I both worked for them in Canterbury. They had an office in London as well. And so and our move to London was quite similar in a sense that we were at an event once and someone prophesied over us. In fact, what happened was people were called forward if they were considering a change or transition or something. And we didn't go forward. We went forward to pray for someone else. And someone just came up and started praying for us. And I thought, well, this is awkward. They made a mistake. We're not here for prayer. But they prophesied over us that we needed to pack our bags ready for a quick move. With no intention of moving anywhere at all. But things just open up really quickly. And we were offered a chance to go to London to work for this church, which was about 5 years old at the time, to be part of the team there. And we worked for the church, but also for the New Frontiers Network. Mm-hmm. And then gradually I became more and more involved in pastoral ministry. So I started off in a kind of PA role and then increasingly became the teaching pastor, which I was by the end of my time there.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your passions, hobbies, likes? What do you love doing?
I love to cook. I really enjoy cooking.
I thought you did. Yes, I've seen that on Facebook a few times.
I'm probably one of those annoying people that just inundates Instagram with pictures of my my food. Well, I know I am. Bread particularly. I enjoy making sourdough. I enjoy cooking all sorts of things. That's a hobby of mine. I love music as well. So I play guitar and keyboard, and we bought my daughter a drum kit for her birthday. Although I have to confess, I've played it far more than she has, and I've claimed that was just an accident, but secretly I've always wanted to
learn. It's the passion, so, yes.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. So married to Helen.
So we've been married 17 years, and actually most of our married life we've worked together in some way. And so she and I both worked for our church back in London, and now she works for the charity of which our church is a part here. And she's brilliant, and actually it's been a joy increasingly to get to lead things together like School in Spirit.
Wonderful.
We're really enjoying that, and we've got a daughter who is about to turn 9, and she's a lot of fun as well.
Great, thank you Liam, brilliant. One of the things I really like about Liam is he has, and you'll hear this as he speaks, I know you'll hear this as he speaks, but he has a passion for the more. You know, we Fiona and I got to know Liam last summer, and very quickly we saw that there's this longing for more, and that's always something that's been in our heart, you know, not to stick with the status quo, not to be satisfied with, and the amazing thing God does, and it's very easy to think this is wonderful, and it is wonderful, but it's easy to sort of say that's great, that's enough, but there's always more. And you know, those of you who've been on the webcast regularly, you know that's something Barry and I say regularly, there's always more. And we saw that when Fiona and I got to know Liam last summer, we saw that same longing, that same desire in him for more. And I believe that, you know, that passion is deeply rooted in his heart. And I'm pretty sure, as he shares with us this evening, that's going to come across. He's given me the topic, the friendship and fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Liam, can I just pray for you before you get going, and then I'll hand over to you, and you can call me back whenever you're ready. Great. Well, Father, we thank you once again just for your presence with us right around the world. For those people watching live, those people watching later, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the reality of your Spirit with us. And Father, I just pray as Liam shares with us, the enthusiasm that's in his heart will touch our hearts, and his words will be your words. Father, let there be an anointing and an authority on what he says. And Father, may our hearts be touched, may our spirits be touched, just in these next few moments together, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Liam. Over to you.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for that kind introduction. It's been really wonderful getting to know you and Fiona as well. And I appreciate what you said there, Mark, about always wanting more of God. And that is definitely true. It's not always been the case, but it's definitely true. And so maybe I'll just start by reflecting a little on how I got to know the Holy Spirit. I grew up going to a church. It was a very, very traditional church, very high Anglican church. I'm totally fine with tradition. I'm very happy with high church, but it was not a great environment for me as a youngster, I have to say. I didn't really have any idea what was going on. I sang in the choir and sang in Latin often, so didn't have much of a sense of what was going on. And I didn't often see a faith that seemed to make a difference to people's lives. I'm not saying it didn't make a difference to the people around me, but I just didn't see many people my age. And my overall feeling about faith was that it was about believing a few things about God, but it didn't necessarily have to affect anything. And I remember when I got to the age of 12, I was invited to these classes that our curate ran, and I went along, and we didn't do a lot. We watched some films and ate some pizza and occasionally talked about God. But I remember at some time around then, I thought I probably should start looking at the Bible a little bit. And I'd always believed in God, and I felt like I knew lots of the stories about Jesus, but I didn't really know what happened next after him. So I decided to read the book of Acts, and I found it a fascinating but slightly bewildering experience, because I was reading all these stories of things that I had never seen before, page after page of miracles and signs and wonders and people coming to faith in their thousands. And I was really confused by this, partly because I always knew that Jesus did those things, but I didn't know that anyone else could do those things. And also, what I was reading there bore no resemblance to the Christianity that I experienced in my limited experience. So I remember going back to one of the classes and we watched a film and ate some pizza. And at some point I said, hey, I'm reading this book and it seems so different to our church experience. Can you explain what's going on here? And the vicar sort of thought for a moment and he said, well, don't worry, God doesn't do those things anymore, referring of course to the miraculous things we were reading in the book of Acts. And I didn't know that. I didn't have any sense of whether that was true. I hadn't read the rest of the book, so I guess I just assumed I hadn't yet reached the part of the story when God retired. I had no reason for believing that what he was saying was not true. And I think, as I've reflected on his answer, I'm not sure he actually believed that God doesn't ever do those things anymore, but it felt like he was concerned that I might be worried that God wanted to do some strange things, whereas actually my concern was that God wanted to do some remarkable things and that I was missing out on it. It wasn't the worry that he thought at all, but it was, as Mark said, actually a worry that there might be more that I was missing out on. And I remember at that age, sort of 12, 13, just thinking, okay, fine, Christianity has nothing to offer, really. It's not that I walked away at all. I just settled, I suppose, for a Christianity that wouldn't make a difference to my life. And my journey sort of took a few meandering turns. And when I ended up at university in Canterbury in Kent, I found myself going to a church that was preaching through the book of Acts and talking as if these things were real and you could experience God and you could know him as your father and you could receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And that was all new and surprising to me. And looking back, I could see actually the Holy Spirit was at work in my life in different ways. Prior to that point, I just had no frame of reference for it. But it was there in Canterbury, in this great church, that I started to experience God for myself. I experienced his Holy Spirit. I received that assurance of sonship, that sense of joy and peace and courage that came upon me. I began to experience his gifts of the Holy Spirit, in particular, initially prophecy and then the gift of tongues. And my faith just came alive. And it's not like, I can't really remember a time when I became a Christian, but it's like all those puzzle pieces that have sort of been there were stuck together and then infused with this whole new quality of life that came from the Holy Spirit. And so I think from that point onwards, I started to really get a sense of, oh, there is more and it's possible to take hold of it. And that's been the passion of my life from that moment on in many ways. But as I was reflecting on that journey and thinking about where I've come and what I wanted to share tonight, I realized that for a lot of the early part of that journey, my interaction with the Holy Spirit came particularly around the gifts. So learning that there were gifts from the Holy Spirit available and learning to ask for those gifts and practice those gifts and use those gifts to bless others and to grow myself. And there was a big focus on the gifts, which is, of course, incredibly important. We're told to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. We're instructed to eagerly desire them. But more recently, I think I found a real sense of needing to focus not just on the gifts, but on the friendship with the Holy Spirit. Because I think it's in that context of friendship and relationship that the gifts of the Spirit are designed to flourish. A few years ago, I was invited to give a talk and I was given a title, Who is the Holy Spirit and What is He Like? And I'd given many talks of that type by that point, but I started preparing for it. And I realized after a little while of preparing that I'd sort of fall into some well-worn paths of preparation. And I started writing a talk answering actually a quite different question, which is, who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? And I'd given that talk many times before, but I realized that wasn't the question I was being asked. And yet it's easier sometimes to talk more about the activity of the Spirit than it is about the character of the Spirit. And I had just fallen into the trap of talking about what he does, whereas actually I was being asked what he is like. And that question of what the Holy Spirit is like is a really important question. Because if we're going to interact with him as more than just someone who gives us gifts, we're going to interact with him as a friend, as someone we're in relationship with him, then we need to know what he's like. We need to know what his character is like. What is his nature? And I think many of us have a stronger idea of what the Holy Spirit does than we do what he is like. And consequently, we lean into the gifts of the Spirit, but sometimes can do so in a way that doesn't take seriously the offer of relationship and friendship with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, there are those famous verses to follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So it's not just pursue the gifts, it's follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts. And I think the focus there is on love for people. We see that in chapter 12, where we're told that the gifts are for the benefit of the body. We see in chapter 13, this sense of love that is meant to serve others and be kind and not self-seeking. But I also think that we should pursue the love of the Holy Spirit as well as his gifts. And it's when we pursue relationship with him that actually that provides the strongest foundation for using the gifts in a really healthy way that serves others. I think we need to love the Spirit. I mean, that's an obvious thing to say, but it's so easy actually just to treat him as someone who gives us the gifts and then disappears and leaves us with the gifts to practice and put our own effort into. No, they are gifts that he wants us to enjoy with him, in partnership with him. And so I think the best way to grow in the gift is actually to grow in friendship with the giver, with the Holy Spirit himself. It was my birthday a few weeks ago, and I received a whole load of generous presents, and I enjoyed many of them. But one of my favourites actually came from a friend who bought me a board game, and it was the kind of gift that I guess I can play it by myself. But as they gave it to me, there was this excitement about the idea that maybe we would enjoy this gift together. And I think that's a picture of how the gifts of the Spirit are meant to operate. It's not like the Spirit just gives them to us and it's over to us. Actually, he brings these things and he thinks, wouldn't it be fun if we unpack this together, if we enjoyed it together? If we are to grow in a healthy understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, we need to do so in a foundation of deep friendship with the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be friends with the Holy Spirit, then it really matters that we know what he is like. What is his character like? Gordon Fee, the great late Pentecostal scholar and theologian, he tells the story of one of his students who once said to him, God the Father makes perfectly good sense to me. God the Son, I can quite understand. But the Holy Spirit is a grey oblong blur, which is a strange description. I don't know why grey or oblong. But I think many people do feel that, actually. For many people, the Holy Spirit is mysterious. Maybe they have categories for understanding the Son and the Father. And of course, we can have good and bad categories for understanding that, as we're aware. But for many people, the Holy Spirit is mysterious. And it matters that we know not only what he does, but what he is like. What is his character like? It matters that he doesn't remain a grey oblong blur. If we're to have friendship with him, we need to know what his character is like. I have encountered many people who are okay with Jesus. They like the idea of the Father, but actually for many reasons, they have reservations about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, I'm not sure people would articulate it quite like this, but sometimes you get the sense that people even feel like the Spirit is somehow the least desirable member of the Trinity, and they fear whether they can trust him. And there are probably many reasons for that, but I have observed that whereas people often draw conclusions about what Jesus is like and what the Father is like from Scripture, we often draw conclusions of what the Spirit might be like through the way we see him work through Spirit-inspired or Spirit-filled humans. For instance, if you encounter people who are Spirit-filled people, and I only put that in quotation marks because what I'm trying to say is that not everything we encounter in people is actually the work of the Spirit, but what I'm saying is there are some people who we encounter who are Spirit-filled people who may be disruptive or brash or strange or showy or chaotic, and it's easy to see that and think, maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is like. And if we find those people off-putting, we can often assume that the Holy Spirit would be off-putting, if you see what I mean. So I know plenty of Christians who say, I'm okay with the Father, I'm okay with the Son, but not wild about the Spirit. And maybe the reason is because they've made assumptions of what the Holy Spirit is like, not from Scripture, but actually because of the way they've seen other people mediate or represent the Holy Spirit. The same is true, of course, of the Father. You know, we draw our conclusions about the Father often through the way that we interact with other Father figures. So I'm not saying that's unique to the Spirit. But I do think that some people have an idea of the Holy Spirit that he is somehow more scary, less reliable. Actually, no, he is meant to be our friend. And we do need to examine the Scriptures to understand what is the character of the Holy Spirit like. And the Holy Spirit, rightly understood, exhibits the very same character as the Father and the Son, for he is God himself. Sometimes in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is described as the Spirit of Jesus. We see that in Romans 8, 9 and 1 Peter 1, 11, Galatians 4, 6. And everything we see about Jesus perfectly embodies the Father. The Holy Spirit is also described as the Spirit of the Father. So in John 15, it says the Spirit proceeds from the Father. That is, the Father sends the Holy Spirit as his representative. You know, he represents what he is like. Matthew 10, 20 says, in effect, when you're anxious or you're delivered over to rulers, don't be afraid, because the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. So the Holy Spirit is not somehow like the reckless member of the Trinity. You know, you can trust the Father, you trust the Son, but the Holy Spirit's a little wacky, a little unpredictable. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit represents the same good character as the Father and the Son. And so we need to know what he is like. We need to trust him if we are to develop deep friendship with him. I love those famous verses in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes about this fruit of the Spirit. It's this collection of character traits which the Holy Spirit loves to bring out in the lives of those who follow him. And for many years, I read that list and I thought, okay, great, this is a tick list of how I am meant to live. And it sort of is that, because it is describing the character traits that the Holy Spirit wants me to embody. But it's become increasingly my conviction that those aren't just the character traits the Spirit grows in me, they're also the character traits that are most supremely true of him. Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So I think it stands to reason that a tree cannot bring about fruit that is contrary to its own nature. And so it would not be possible for the Holy Spirit to bring about that good fruit in our lives unless it was also supremely true of him. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is not just how he wants me to live, it's actually the perfect depiction of what he is like. So if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, yes, you can look at the metaphors that describe him. You can look at various scriptures. But I think Galatians 5 tells us explicitly what the character of the Holy Spirit is like. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. Those characteristics are supremely true of him. And it's because they're true of him that actually when he lives in us, they can be true of us too. Theologians often talk about the communicable attributes of God. That is, things that are true of him and can become true of us as well. There are incommunicable attributes of God. That's quite a hard thing to say, particularly late at night. But incommunicable attributes are things that are true of God and don't become true of us. So his omniscience, the fact that he exists eternally, that sort of thing. But communicable attributes are things that can be transferred by proximity. The closer you are to him, the more likely it is that you're going to catch something of what he has. We've of course sadly got used to the idea of communicable diseases in the last few years with all that we faced globally, but in a far better way, these attributes are communicable. They are things that are true of the Holy Spirit, and the more time we spend in his presence, the more they become true of us. They somehow infect us and we become more like him. And I love that list of character traits. Let me read it again. It says the fruit of the Spirit, this is the nature of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, who's not going to want friendship with a God like that? Yet so many people who are hesitant about life in the Spirit have a perception of the Holy Spirit that's very unlike this. Maybe they've encountered Christians who are disruptive or brash or strange or showy or chaotic, and they've assumed something about what the Holy Spirit is like, and they've thought, well, I find him a bit off-putting. I'm not sure I can trust him. Well, what if we took our definition of the character of the Spirit from Scripture, from passages like this, rather than from the way we see him mediated through others? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what he is like. Isn't that the kind of Spirit you would love to have friendship with? Now, hear me right, and you know, Mark, you know what I'm like, and I'm happy with the wild side of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit can be disruptive. He's very much allowed to be. He's God. Okay, I can't put him in a box, and his job is not to make my life comfortable. Right, and some of the biblical pictures about the Spirit do show a disruptive, powerful side to him. So I'm not denying that at all. You know, he's described as wind, which shakes, which can move things. He's described as fire, which can spread wildly. It can burn off dross. He's described as water, which is not always gentle. If you've ever been on the end of a pressure hose, a pressure washer, you know that water can be a forceful thing. He is powerful. But rather than that being a scary or an off-putting thing, if we truly understood the goodness of his character, I think we would know that we can trust him. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a hypocrite. He doesn't demand fruit in our lives that he fails to exhibit in his own life. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Spirit. He is love. He is patience. He is kindness, and so on. And so for any listeners who are listening or watching today who struggle with the idea of the Holy Spirit, and maybe perhaps assume that he's disruptive and chaotic or wild or untrustworthy or whatever language you might use, if you have come to love the Father and the Son but have struggled with the Holy Spirit, I would invite you to go on a journey of really understanding and appreciating his character. At the beginning of the School of the Spirit program, which I have the privilege of running, I often get people thinking about their expectations for the year. And we often begin with an activation where we read through the fruit of the Spirit. And I ask a couple of these questions. Which of the Holy Spirit's character traits in Galatians 5 do I find it hardest to connect with? It's really interesting what comes up for different people. In which of these areas is he particularly asking me to trust him right now? What lies have I believed about the character of the Holy Spirit, which are stopping me entering into full friendship with him? And where have those lies come from? Are there lies I need to reject? And is there truth I need to replace it with? I think those are important questions to ask about the Holy Spirit, because we put up all sorts of barriers, fear around him, and identifying the lies and then praying, Spirit of patience or self-control or whatever it happens to be, I want to know you more. That's a really powerful way to start friendship with the Holy Spirit. For instance, I often encounter people who fear that the Holy Spirit is an agent of chaos. I'm not sure they put it quite like that, but generally they fear that the Holy Spirit is chaotic and wild, and if I follow him, it's just going to be chaotic, and I don't really like that. It's scary, and so people keep him at a distance. But what does Galatians say? The fruit of the Spirit is peace, peace. In fact, the very first thing we see about the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters of chaos and he brings order and peace. 1 Corinthians 14 says, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So if we understand or we believe that the Holy Spirit is one who brings chaos, we actually suggest that the nature of the Spirit is different from the nature of the Father, which is simply not true. And to be clear, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will never disrupt things. He absolutely does. He's disrupted my life in many ways, but he's always been good. It's always been good. And if we believe the lie that the Holy Spirit is out to bring chaos, that somehow is going to disempower us from relating to him, because we won't feel that we're able to trust him. I think we need to root out where things are unhelpful, and we need to replace it with the truth. No, he's good and he's kind. And he loves to bring peace. Many people fear that the Spirit is aggressive or forceful, and that puts us off. But Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Again, that's not to say he won't shake us or empower us in quite, you know, vibrant, powerful ways at times, but the overall tenor of his engagement with us is gentleness, like the dove that comes and rests on Jesus' shoulder. Many people fear the unpredictability of the Spirit. People worry that he'll cause us to do things that are unexpected, or he might somehow take over control of us in a really unhealthy way and make us do things we don't want to do. No. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Actually, he empowers us to be more ourselves. And yes, he does things that surprise us, but it's not irrational, it's not impulsive, and it's certainly never going to be harmful to us. We can trust him. And when he does invite us to give up control, it's safe to do so because his character is so beautiful. and so on. I would encourage you, actually, if you struggle with relationship with the Holy Spirit, read through that list of character traits. Ask him to highlight particular ones that you struggle to believe. Ask him to bring to mind the lies that you're believing about his character and nature, and then have the courage to replace that lie with the truth of Scripture. He is love, he's joy, he's peace, he's patience, kindness, and so on. One of the traits about the Holy Spirit that I have come to appreciate most of all is his kindness. It really is. I did for many years, even though I was getting excited about learning more about the Holy Spirit, I did have this fear that the Holy Spirit would just be disruptive, or he would just move too fast for me and it would be a terrifying thing. But actually, no, I've come to believe he is kind. He is so kind. And Paul says in Galatians 5 again, verse 25, he says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And for ages, I read that and I thought, I can't do that. That sounds daunting. How do you keep in step with the almighty, all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent God? That is impossible. How can I do that? That sounds exhausting. John 3 describes the Holy Spirit as this wind that can't be contained, that roams the earth. That doesn't sound like the kind of thing I can keep in step with. I live in the UK. I don't know where you are around the world right now, but in the UK, breezy is considered 15 to 25 miles an hour, and windy is 20 to 35 miles an hour. I don't know what it might be in your location, but average Liam speed is significantly less than that. So the idea of keeping up with the God who is described as the wind that roams the earth just seems like an impossible thing. How can I keep in step with the Spirit? Well, a couple of verses earlier, Paul says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, I say, walk by the Spirit, not sprint in the Spirit, walk. I've come to believe that the Holy Spirit does not move at an impossible speed and just demand that we keep up. He's so kind. And in his kindness, I believe he limits himself to move at a pace that is possible for us to keep in step with. He's so kind. He wants to walk with us. He doesn't want to set an impossible pace and to demand that we sprint after him in an exhausting manner. He's so kind, and he invites us into that slow, gentle walk with him. And that's not to say it'll always be a slow and easy pace. There are times where, like a good personal trainer, he might just push us a little further because he knows we're capable of it. But he is kind. He wants to walk with us. Sometimes you go out for a walk and you see couples walking together, and one of them, usually the man, to be honest, is sort of raging on ahead, and you just think, do you even want to be walking together? Shouldn't you be a bit more in step? Well, the Holy Spirit wants to be in step with us, and so he slows himself in his kindness so that we can keep in step with him. If you've been fearful of the Holy Spirit as being some power, some force who's just got his agenda, he's always go, 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 and you've got to run hard and it's exhausting to keep up. No. He's kind, and he is willing to walk with you, and he's willing to slow himself down so that you can keep in step with him. You can trust him. He is good. He wants friendship with you. I often cherish a particular memory, a story from my time in London. We lived in southwest London, and I remember one Saturday I was planning to go right into central London, and I was going to get the tube, and there was one particular route that I would take, and you know, everyone would go down the main route and then turn right, and that was the main way to get to the tube. But I knew that if I were to cross over a little bit earlier and cut through a different road, I could save 30 seconds off my time. And you know, everyone in London's a bit stressed about time, and you know, time is money, and so we're all just looking for life hacks and save 30 seconds wherever you can. And so I remember one day I'm just in my own zone, sort of going there, and I think, okay, if I cross over here, I'll just get there, I'll save 30 seconds of my time, and I'm a headphones on and listening to a song. I was about to cross the road, and suddenly I just felt this nudge in my spirit. It was a thought in my mind. It didn't feel very strong or tangible, but the thought was there, and the thought was that I should take off my headphones and I should stay on this side of the road. That was it. And to be honest, I didn't want to do that because A, I was enjoying my music. It was just my sort of me time on a Saturday morning. But also I knew if I cross over now, I save 30 seconds. If I stay here, that's a precious 30 seconds. So, you know, I had a momentary wrestle over it. And then I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? So I took my headphones off and I stayed on this particular side of the road and walking down the street. About 2 minutes later, I saw this old lady by the side of the road and she beckoned me over. And so I walked over to her and said, are you okay? And she explained that she wasn't from London. And she traveled in that day to meet up with a friend. And her friend had given her directions. She was quite nervous about traveling in London. She was quite an elderly lady. And so her friend had given her really detailed instructions. Get on this particular tube, heading in this particular direction, go three stops, change for this one, so on, so on. But it had all fallen at the first hurdle because the tube had been down and she'd had to get a rail replacements bus service and it dropped her in a place and she didn't know where she was and she had no idea how to get back on track to go and meet her friend. What's more, she didn't have a phone. She did have her friend's phone number, but couldn't contact her. And so I called this lady and I found out where they were meant to be meeting. And I realized actually it wasn't very far away at all. And there was one bus that could easily get her there. So I spoke to this lady's friend. I said, okay, you wait here. I'll make sure she gets to you. And so I walked this lady to the bus stop and I stood at the bus stop and I waited to make sure she'd get on the right bus. And I didn't want her to have the same experience again. And as we're waiting there at the bus stop, we just started chatting. And she said to me, the reason I've come to London today is I'm meeting my friend and we're going to go to a prayer meeting together. And so when I get to that prayer meeting, I'm going to pray a blessing on you and on your family. And I just thought that was so lovely and so precious. And so I said to her, oh, that's lovely. As it happens, I'm a Christian. And she just looked at me as if I was a complete idiot. And she said, well, of course you are, which I found peculiar. I didn't know that I gave off such strong Christian vibes. I'm not sure it was my halo particularly visible that day. I don't know. But how did she know? How did she know I was a Christian? And so I asked her, I said, how did you know? And she said, well, a couple of minutes before you arrived, I sat down on the wall and I prayed, Holy Spirit, I'm scared and I'm lost. Would you inspire someone that knows you to come and to help me? And you came along. And I often reflect on that story because it really speaks powerfully, I think, of the kindness of the Holy Spirit. It's just so kind to that lady that he heard her prayer and that he sent someone. And also just so incredibly kind to me as well, because he gave me the immense privilege of getting to be his hands and his feet to that lady in her moment of need. And to be honest, it wasn't a big and scary moment, as we often imagine it might be following the Holy Spirit. We can sometimes fear that he's going to cause us to do something scary or terrifying or push us out of the boat. I'm sure there have been moments like that, but this wasn't one of them. This was a moment where it's essentially like he just said in a really undramatic way, sure, you can cross the road if you want, Liam. You can carry on listening to that music if you want. You can save your 30 seconds. Or you could stay on this side of the road with me because I've got a lady that I'm going to go and meet and I'd love you to talk to her. And that's all it was, actually. That's what it looked like, just to keep in step with the Holy Spirit in that moment. It was trusting that my friend has something good planned for me and I'm just going to stay on that side of the road with him. And I have learned increasingly that being deeply convinced of the goodness of the Holy Spirit, that he always has my best intentions at heart, that he is the perfect embodiment of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Being deeply convinced of that, that is the best foundation for stepping out in the gifts of the Spirit. If I've only got the gifts and it's down to me to use them, then actually whether or not I do relies just on my own courage on any particular given day, and that can go up and down. But if I'm deeply convinced of his goodness all the time, that he is nothing but love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the rest. If that's the foundation, the friendship of the Holy Spirit, rooted in a deep understanding that the fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Spirit, I think that's the most healthy bedrock for life in the Spirit. So I want to challenge you And I'll invite Mark back in a moment. But I want to challenge you, if you are someone who struggles with the idea of the Holy Spirit, why not take some time this week just to pray through Galatians 5 and ask him to show you more of what he's like, not just what he does, but what he is like and how he wants to deepen friendship and relationship with you. Thanks so much for listening. And yeah, maybe Mark can come back and join me.
Wow, thank you, Liam. Really appreciate that very much. What a beautiful story. What amazing. When you were sharing that, I just reminded of that verse in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, where, you know, Ezekiel prophesies of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You know, and he says, you know, Ezekiel says on behalf of God, you know, I will put my spirit in you, and my spirit will cause or motivate you to walk in my ways. Yeah. And just as Liam was sharing that story, I thought, wow, you know, that's walking in the Father's ways, yeah, just to help that lady. And, you know, there's going to be times for all of us when we can just follow those little promptings of the Spirit. Mm. And sometimes it's so illogical almost. Mm. You know, take off your headphones and stay on this side of the road. You know, why? you know, it just, there's no logic to it, but it's just that little prompting and just trusting. Yeah. Trusting that little voice. That's 'cause I believe, you know, we are given, Jesus says in John 14, you know, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will be with you, who will remind you of all of these things. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come by my Spirit. And it's like, we've got this, I mean, it annoys me when people talk about the Holy Spirit as a tool. The Holy Spirit is not a toolbox. Yeah. You know, what do I need today, you know, to help me with my work? You know, we had a tradesman around the other day, great big toolbox, you know, a tool for every job. And the Holy Spirit's not a toolbox where we kind of, you know, what do I need to help me today? As Liam's really explained, the Holy Spirit is a person that we do not have to be scared of. We don't have to be frightened of. And one of the things I often say about the Holy Spirit, Liam, is it's the Holy Spirit is like a bridge between us and the Father, us and the Son. But it's like an elastic bridge that doesn't leave us out here, but it draws us into that intimate place with him. And, you know, that's this friend that we have. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm like you, Liam. There are times the Holy Spirit sort of rocks the boat and I go, whoa, you know. And he does, you know, there are times it's not necessarily comfortable, and there are times when it's challenging, but like, you know, any relationship, if there's trust there, you can say, yeah, I can go with this because I know who's leading me. So Liam, thank you, bless you. I wonder if we could just take some time just praying for folk.
Certainly. I'd love to.
You know, I'll just put some music on and you know, just let's just be in that place where we open our heart and just welcome the Holy Spirit. You know, welcome the one who has been given to us by the Father to lead us, to guide us, to inspire us, to fill us. You know, let's just welcome him again and afresh. And that sense of deep relationship with him. So, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit. What a gift. Not the gifts of the Spirit, but what a gift the Holy Spirit is to us. The person of the Holy Spirit. We just want to welcome you today. Give you permission to fill us again. Just fill us with yourself, with your presence. Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us your Spirit to remind us that you're with us forever. You're not distant, you're not afar off, but by your Spirit we can come close, we can draw close to you. And so we just invite you, Holy Spirit, once again, just to fill Fill our hearts. Bypass our minds, I pray, in Jesus' name. Bypass our minds so that we don't try and work it out intellectually, but we receive a heart encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, come Holy Spirit. And I want to ask for everyone who's watching this, whether live or on catch up, ask that everyone right now would experience the closeness of your presence.
Yeah.
I pray that those character traits about you that maybe some of us struggle to believe to be true, would you just highlight them right now? And over the coming days and weeks, would you show people, would you show us, would you show me increasingly what you are like in those areas? I want to ask, Lord, if there have been lies that have got in that have distorted the way we think about you, Holy Spirit, if we have assumed the worst about you, or assumed that you're not trustworthy, or you're just out to ruin everything, make a mess of everything, I want to pray, Lord, that we would instead joyfully embrace the truth that you are good, not only ever good. I want to pray, Lord, that I might be wrong on this, but I have a sense. I can just see in my mind's eye, which is where the Holy Spirit often does speak to me. I can just see the number 27. And I do wonder if there's someone who, at the age of 27, you had an experience that shook you and it made you think, I'm not sure I trust the Holy Spirit. I'll let him do certain things in my life, but actually I'll close off certain other areas. And I'm not sure I quite trust him to do these particular things. I don't know what it is, but I feel like someone had a defining moment that was a negative moment for you. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, well, I haven't given up on you and I haven't gone away from you. I'm still here, still wanting deep friendship with you. And there are greater depths that we can go to. So if that is you, speak to a trusted pastor or friend, or drop me a line or mark a line, I'm sure. But right now I want to pray for you and anyone who's like that or has had bad experiences of the Holy Spirit. Actually, you haven't had a bad experience of the Holy Spirit because he is over. But any experience that may have convinced you that the Spirit is less than good, I want to pray that the lies will be replaced by truth. I want to pray for a greater sense of joy and peace, the absence of fear that comes through the indwelling of perfect love. Holy Spirit, would you show us how good you are? And would you equip us and empower us and draw us deeper into walking with you every day of our lives?
Yeah.
Keep bringing about the good fruit in our lives as well. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Just breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Breathe into us, Holy Spirit. Breathe life into us. Thank you, Jesus, that you said that you came that we would have life, and life in all its fullness. And that life for us is a life in the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, just breathe that life into our heart. Just a fresh encounter with you. Thank you.
Thank you that we don't have to perform. We don't have to strive. Thank you that we don't have to prove ourselves.
Ooh.
thinking that life and the spirit is just actually about enjoying you,
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the walk with you.
Yeah.
And yes, we want to steward well the gifts that you give us, and we want to fan them into flame and use them for good and take responsibility for things, but may we never cross over into a striving or performance mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep us free from that, I pray, Holy Spirit. Help us to enjoy the lightness of your presence.
Mm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Liam.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving your time. And thank you, folks, for joining us again. next Wednesday, Barry and I will be back together, we hope. And look forward to that. The video will be on the website tomorrow. And so feel free to share it around. But thank you, and we'll see you next week. And Liam, once again, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
I keep having me on.